Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, thank you today. We worship you, Lord, and we praise you. I pray right now for everyone in the sound of our voices. As we come before you, we pray that your word goes forth today and heals and brings miracles and signs and wonders all over this world. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, don't forget to download your free study notes. kcm.org/notes, and all of the notes and scriptures and everything from this broadcast. And they're, like I said, they're free. No expense, no excuse. So get you, and you're going to be glad you did on these broadcasts this week, I can tell you. Would you join me today in welcoming our dear friend and brother, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn? Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kahn.
Jonathan, thank you so much for doing this.
My honor and my blessing to be here.
It's truly. You have just brought a light into this place, and it's very dear to our hearts, and we thank you for it.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. It's been a total joy every moment.
I can hardly wait to get back in here.
Amen.
Now, all last week, we were talking about the harbingers.
Yes.
And these warnings. God has never, ever surprised anybody with judgment. Now, there's been a lot of people surprised, but it wasn't his fault because he's always warned and warned and warned, given time and time and time to repent over and over and over again. Ask me how I know. Amen. But his mercy, in fact, you remember Jesus said, if the time wasn't shortened, nobody would survive it.
That's right.
So judgment steps in and shortens the thing and gives opportunity for repentance and for healing and deliverance and come through in great victory.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lord's heart is mercy. That's his heart. He has to deal with evil because he's good. He has to deal with that. But even in judgment is mercy. Now people don't realize that. It calls. He's calling back and he actually uses it as he did with Israel to bring them back. And if he didn't judge, it would be hopeless.
I mean, yeah. His perfect will is for you and I to judge ourselves.
Yes.
To get in the Word, judge ourselves, and get it straight before it happens.
That's right.
And then live in victory throughout the
whole thing.
And be a ministry to those that aren't in
trouble.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. And you know, it talks about correction too. He's a loving father and he gets us back. He gets us back. But
Amen.
Yes, we have to embrace that. And so, but now as we're in the last days and we're dealing with America and a world that we're dealing with, that a nation that was founded on the Word of God, that was founded for the glory of God, as Israel was, you know, and you know, America's not Israel, but America's was actually in the pattern of Israel. And so we touch on this, that the early founders, the Puritans, they said, if we follow God's word, we'll be the most blessed people. It happened, it's done. But what people don't remember is they said, but if we turn against God's word, then the judgments that came on Israel are gonna come upon us. That's what the harbinger begins, saying that the same pattern, God is consistent, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he said then, the same pattern that was given to Israel in its warning is now reappearing in America. And for those who didn't hear, I'll just do a quick thing, because I want to take it beyond what is even the book, because it's been coming true since the book. It's been unfolding since. So the ultimate thing is this: in the last days of Israel, God gives warning to Israel, nation that had defied him, and it comes in the form there are nine harbingers or nine prophetic signs that appear in the land. And the thing is that those same nine harbingers are reappearing, have reappeared, are continuing in America and warning us. Now it all comes, and just to set the stage, it's Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah records it. God says, record what these people are saying. God allows a strike on the land, shake up. It's a warning of judgment, classic warning, in mercy to save them from destruction. So he tries to shake them up, allows an attack on the land. The people respond in defiance, and Isaiah records it. And so this is the stage. Isaiah 9:10, it says, the people say, the bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will plant cedars in their place. So they are coming back with defiance. And in that scripture, that's where the harbingers begin. That's where all the nine harbingers come from.
They didn't even mention God in this.
No, that's the point.
Yeah, that's that. Dang. At first, when you read that, you think, well, hey, what else would you do? I mean, we're strong people. We're coming back. But they didn't give God the time of day in this.
Nothing. And this was in response to his calling to save them. And if you look at it, right even before, it says they said in arrogance of heart. And then when you go to the next verse, then comes judgment. And we were talking the last week that amazingly, because all these leaders of America quoted this verse and had no idea what they were saying. This is a verse of judgment. And so here we've got this. Now I'm just going to mention a few that we touched upon, but now where they have gone, because it's continued. They've actually unfolded since the book. And we'll start with one. One is, one of the harbingers is that tree that they planted. It says, the sycamores have fallen, we will plant cedars in their place. Well, just for those who don't know, at ground zero on 9/11, the sycamore is struck down, just like in here with the attack on America. And then the people respond by saying, we're going to plant another tree in its place. A tree descends from the sky, literally. They're planted in the place of the sycamore. And as they do that, the same tree that they plant in ground zero is the same tree that's in Isaiah. It's an Erez tree, Hebrew Erez tree there. It's a symbol of judgment. Here they're saying, you know, we're coming back stronger. And the tree literally in Hebrew means strength and coming back without God. So here's the thing, Brother Copeland. They planted this tree. They said, this is the symbol. It had a ceremony around it. This is a symbol. Nothing could stop us. Well, what happened to that tree? In the Bible, one of the signs, and you know it well, one of the signs of the warning of judgment is the withering away of a tree. Messiah, you know, the fig tree withering away. God says it. You see, read it again and again and again. Sign of a nation. And here, what happened to that tree? The tree of the Erez tree, sign of strength, and it was a symbol of America coming back, has been withering away in its soil at ground zero. Withering away. Everything around it, if you went there in the spring, everything around it is green, except that tree that was to represent us coming back, you know, but without God. And the thing is that, so here it's been withering. I actually was there with a member of Congress. We went to the harbingers, and at that point, when the member of Congress just went down on their knees when they saw this withering tree representing America. And similarly, that spiritually, what's happened since 9/11, spiritually, the culture has been withering from without God. It wither. And so they tried to. They tried to save it. And one of the other symbols of the warning of judgment is God says, I will break off its branches. I will break its bough. And then you see it again. It's a sign of the glory of a nation, Babylon, and all this being broken up. Well, what happened is they broke off its branches. They removed the branches of the tree of hope. They removed it because it was diseased. They literally put a rope around that tree to hold it up, to stay standing. And then the president, President Obama, comes down to ground zero, and he reads, on the anniversary, he reads a scripture they have for him, and a very strange thing to read, because what he reads is, the scripture is, he's just standing at ground zero. It says, come, let us see the desolations the Lord has done, the judgments of the Lord. He's reading that. I don't know that he realizes what he's doing. But then he gets to another scripture that speaks of national blessing, but he changes the words.
Oh, come on.
Now, I'm not saying he knew what he was doing, but he changed the word. It was the blessing. The scripture was, God was saying, I'll bring peace. I will break the bow, the arrow. I will break the weapon. The president changes it to I will break the bough, the branches, which is the sign of judgment on a nation. He says it, and right across from him is the tree with literally the sign of, with its branches broken off. And then one of the signs in the Bible, the warning, is, and you know this, when God says, I will strike down the cedars, the high, tall, proud cedars, yeah. I will strike it down. Yeah. Well, that's the Erez tree. It says cedar, but it's Erez tree. Now, the thing is that the destruction of the Erez tree is even more serious than the sycamore because it's a symbol of strength. Well, what happened is they tried everything to save that tree. They changed the soil. They changed everything. But nothing stopped it from withering. So not long ago, the tree of hope, the sixth harbinger, fell and was destroyed. The harbinger was destroyed. Now, the destruction of the Erez tree, very heavy sign. And the day that they destroyed it was a Hebrew holy day. They destroyed it on Passover. And that night, the night that it fell, the harbinger fell, the moon turned blood red. It was the first blood moon. It ushered in the blood moons on the day of the harbinger. Now that's one harbinger.
What is it about this you can't understand? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's like trying to figure out what no means, you know? I mean, it's just, yeah. It's there.
Yeah, yeah. God makes it obvious because God, I mean, what could be more obvious than this when you have the leaders of America
Absolutely.
Quoting this? And then it's actually not only they're saying the scripture, they're saying the word, it's actually happening. I mean, the next one is the tower. Now the tower, now this is the one that, remember, you know, when they said, we will rebuild, they said, we're going to come back stronger, higher, the hewn stone, we're coming back, we're going to build bigger than before. America does the same. The leaders do the same thing. The leaders actually say, John Kerry in Congress says, we're going to build that tower. It's going to show the world we are defiant. Well, defiant is what this is about here. And the thing is that they're building this tower. And remember, we just to set the stage, that in the Septuagint, it actually says, when it translates this verse, it says, they say, come, let us build a tower. So America builds a tower at ground zero, goes up at ground zero. And we also mentioned that there was actually a scripture hidden in the ruins that actually was there, the word of God, that said right there, it said, come, let us build for ourselves a tower. So the tower is going up, and it goes up. Well, what happened to that tower? A number of months after the harbinger came out, the president goes down to ground zero, and they show him that tower. Now remember, that tower was actually literally born from the verse Isaiah 9:10.
Yeah.
When it was proclaimed on Capitol Hill, he said, this is what we'll do, we will rebuild. Well, this is it. This is actually born by a scripture, but it's a scripture of judgment. So it's going up, and the president goes down. They show him the tower. They show him the beam that's going to crown the tower of defiance. And they say, write, inscribe words, whatever it is. Now, he's representing America. Just like in the last days of Israel, you have the leaders, and they issued these words, Isaiah 9:10, which brought destruction. You know, and in Hebrew, it's only 8 words. You know, we read Isaiah 9:10, it's about 30 words. But in Hebrew, it's just 8. Well, the president goes to the beam, and he can put anything he wants. What he writes on there is in our American prose, he writes down the vow of judgment, of defiance from Isaiah 9:10 on the vow, on the beam. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He has no idea. He does it in 8 words that match the 8 original Hebrew words that the leaders of Israel did. In fact, the middle of the vow, like the middle of the fourth word, which is right in the middle, in what the president writes is the word build or rebuild. What the middle of the 8 Hebrew words is the Hebrew word nivneh, which means rebuild. It matches word for word. So here on the Tower of Defiance are the words of defiance written by the highest leader of the land. Mm-hmm. And that now when the president was re-elected, inaugurated, they were going to have a born-again pastor who's going to say something, but they kind of hounded him out. I don't know if you remember it, but they didn't let him do it.
Yeah.
And so instead, they chose a poet to speak words. Words are very important. He speaks words. And what he says is, he gives a poem of giving thanks, but not giving thanks to God, but giving thanks to the works of our hands. And he says, he starts speaking, he says, in praise of our works of our hands, he speaks of the harbinger, the tower going up at ground zero from the inauguration. And he says, as the tower goes up, I'm paraphrasing, as the last story goes in, it juts into the heavens, and the heavens yield to our resilience. It's like he's quoting. I mean, it's like Isaiah 9:10 at the inauguration. And then they, you know, they tried to put the spire on the top of that tower, but it was actually on the day that America was dedicated to God, but it's like the heavens wouldn't let it. The winds blew and would not let them put that up. They put it up later on another day. When they put it up, the sun turns dark. You had the eclipse of the sun, another sign in the Bible. Now, the thing is that tower has been rising as America, as the culture has been falling, you know, and that's exactly what happened in Isaiah. It's exactly the same template. And the thing is that there's a man called me, actually emailed me after the Harbinger. He had a dream, and a believer had a dream that he was in New York City years ago, and he saw an angel there, and an angel points to the two towers, and as he looks, they crash to the ground. And then 2 days later came 9/11. He was haunted for months. Should I have said something? He was just torn apart by it. A while later, he gets a second dream. And the dream is what would go up in its place. And what goes up in its place wasn't two towers, it was one tower. And then a while later, he sees it on the news, that's the exact tower. But in the dream, it wasn't a good thing, because as it was going up, America was falling away from God. And he heard a voice, as it was coming to completion, he heard a voice that said, "This tower is a sign and seal of my judgment on this nation." You know, without even reading the Harbinger, that's what he got. So here we have this Tower of Defiance that's only been reaching its completion this year, in the same year that America crossed some very important lines.
Oh yeah.
And when they just about, I don't know, a few months ago, they opened the top of it. So it opened, and the 2 days later, a storm comes to New York City, strikes the tower three times, the top, just after they opened. There's much more we'll get to, but I want to share something else here. And this is like, this blew me away. I didn't know this when I wrote the Harbinger, but it turned out that God, you know, it says that, he says the word goes forth and he causes it to fall on everybody. You know, this Harbinger thing. Well, before I even knew about the Harbinger or wrote the Harbinger or saw this, God caused that word to fall upon the nation. And then let me tell you what happened. I know you know this. There's a Bible that's the one-year Bible. One-year Bible is that when you read the one-year Bible, you know, every day you've got another verse.
That's right.
You know, and yeah. If you open up the one-year Bible that's been out, and it doesn't matter what version it is, as long as it's called the one-year Bible, you open it up to September 11th, and you look at the scripture is Isaiah 9:10.
Jonathan.
Every one-year Bible, it is Isaiah appointed for that day.
Oh.
This was millions of believers every year on 9/11 were opening their Bibles and getting the scripture of the first warning strike of a nation in danger of judgment. It was there. It was there. And it was not only there, but the one-year Bible came out before 9/11. It came out in the 80s and the 90s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So for years, every year on the date was already there. That marks the scripture that speaks of the first attack. The day was already there. And then when 9/11 happened, that morning, believers are actually reading those words before it happened. They're mouthing the words before it happened. And they're speaking of the sycamore that struck down on that day. And they're speaking of the bricks falling. Everything was all there beforehand, all there. In every one-year Bible, God had it already there long before 9/11. It's marked to this day.
You can't say we weren't warned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, the amazing part of this, you and I discussed this yesterday, I'm still just kind of, it just gets your breath. All they had to do is just read just a few verses. "For the people turneth not unto him, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off Israel, head and tail, branch and rush in one day." That's the 13th verse.
Yes.
That's only three verses down.
Yeah.
And their eyes were blind to that.
Yeah, yeah. And these are politicians who have people vet every word. They have a group. They have a focus group. And for them not to see
this.
They
didn't see it.
And even just the verse before says, "who say in arrogance of heart."
Yeah.
And they said
it. And
there it is. They're replaying it because I think it's like, how does all this happen? How does the word come that way? How did the tree fall? It's because it has to happen.
They say in the pride, and here's the way the King James translates that, and it's amazing. Yeah. Stoutness of heart.
Yes, which is the Hebrew word gadal, which is linked to the tower. You know, Brother Copeland, I'm just throwing this in here. In the same, next to Isaiah 9:10, on, if you look at the one-year Bible, 9:11, they have a psalm. And the psalm for that day speaks of violence in the city. I've seen violence in the city. And the word for violence, in Hebrew it means violence, but in Arabic it means Islamic fervor. And the word is Hamas. And it's literally in the Bible appointed for 9/11. God is amazing, awesome, and His word is true.
He has called and named every second of existence.
I mean, I heard that.
He is so exact. That the word of the Lord, the night you spoke there at EMIC, and that had never entered my consciousness, but I heard it in my spirit. I named the seconds. Well, He names all the stars. There's a whole lot more stars than, but think of what he's done here, right down to the very moments, every document, even the reading of the Bible, and come on, man, before the foundation of the world, He put all this together. Just for you and just for me and just for you. So in these final days, we can prosper and rejoice and we can be there for those that have come under the stresses of judgment. But out of the judgment, there's something coming.
That's God's will. God's will. The same God who was so exact on this, every single word He gave is that exact. And I know the plans I have for you. That it's for shalom.
Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. You need to be shouting right now. Well, Brother Copeland, there's judgment coming on the country. Yeah, but you know about it, and you're preparing about it, and you're standing strong in the Word, and God will prosper you right all the way through the thing, and we're going to come out of this in the most glorious outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the existence of this planet. And we're out of time, and we'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.